later. So last week, we get your Bibles open. If you want to take notes, put these things down. Ecclesiastes means the gatherer or the collector. That's where we get our word ecclesia, called out assembly, the church. The book has 12 chapters, has 222 verses, has 5,584 inspired words. And we went over all this last week. And we got down there last week about generation pass, another generation comes. People are like ants. Ants just crawl across the world and somebody stomps them and die. And that's the way people are. We just crawl across this globe, live on it for a few years, somebody else comes up and takes their place. If the Lord don't come, somebody else is going to be in this building one of these days. Somebody else is going to be in your house if it's still standing. One generation comes, another leaves. The key phrases you're going to get for understanding the book of Ecclesiastes are the words of the preacher. And make sure you understand that. It's the words of the preacher. That's King Solomon. And this thing of under the sun. Under the sun. So Ecclesiastes is a wisest man in the world view of life under the sun. He doesn't take into consideration eternity for most part of the book. So remember that. When you're reading Ecclesiastes, it's under the sun. Under the sun. And him and Job take two different roads and they wind up the same place. Sometimes I come down Highway 70 here to church from my house in Nebo. And I wind up right here. Sometimes I come Interstate 40. I just sort of mix it up and do one time, one another. It's about as quick one way as it is the other from where I live. But I wind up the same place. Job went around this way. Suffering, pain, lost everything he had. And he come to the conclusion is, everything's a waste of time. Without God, life is vanity. Solomon had pleasure and money and anything. If you don't believe it, you come next week. Next week, it'll blow your mind what I'm getting ready to tell you Solomon had. These people on TV, the lifestyles of rich and famous, and MTV, MP Crib. All these kids say, man, I want to watch MTV Crib. What junk heaps. Brother, them people are poverty stricken compared to Solomon. And you'll see that next week. He had swimming pools bigger than like two football fields in his yard. 50 feet deep. A swimming pool. Ain't nobody in Hollywood got one like that. But anyway, Solomon went the route of pleasure and happiness, and him and Job come out the same place. All is vanity. And it doesn't matter if you suffer. Doesn't matter if you're a billionaire. All is vanity. Under the sun. Under the sun. If there's no eternity, and there's no heaven, and there's no hell, I don't know. There ain't no reason for us even being here. All is vanity. It's just work and pay bills and live and come home and dirty dishes and dirty clothes and get sick and die. Wow. What a thrill, man. And you can have a little fun in between there, but I'm telling you, it's vanity. Now, we got into that thing about the wind, verse 6. We talked about the sun rising in verse 5. The Bible is correct when it says sunrise. People say, well, the Bible's not scientific. Sun don't rise. Two things. Number one, you don't know that. And number two, your newspaper says sunrise, 6:30. So the Bible's it's written practically for practical people. The Bible wasn't written for a bunch of astronauts and scientists. It was written for common, ordinary, everyday white trash like me. And so you gotta remember that. The Bible talks about that. Now look here, he said all verse 7, and we pointed this out last week. We don't have time to get into it tonight. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from which the rivers came, thither they return again. And we talked, how in the world could Solomon have known that 1000 B.C.? How could he have possibly known? Nobody in that time would have said that river running down into that ocean is going to go back on top of that mountain and run down here again. Nobody would have believed that. But he knew it. That's the Spirit of God showing somebody something like that. How did he know that? How does that water run down into the ocean, turn into salt water, and then evaporate and go back on top of the mountain and come down as fresh water again? Have you ever thought about this? We talked about water last week. The water you've drunk today, Napoleon might have drunk that same water. And it went through him, and then you drunk it. That's right. I doubt, does anybody think that maybe the water you drunk today had never been drunk before? He said, mine's a store. It don't matter. It comes from somewhere. I hope it's purified, don't y'all? That's what they say, but I'm telling you, there's a cow pasture right up there, and there's 1,000 rocks right here. I don't know if I'm going to drink it. I've heard that too. I've heard it runs over so many rocks it's pure, but I believe I'd want it to run a little further than that. But anyway, there was no, how in the world did Solomon know about that? There's no way he could have known that except through the Spirit of God. But we ain't got time. You should have been here last week, all I can say. All right, let's take up where we left off. We got down to, where did we get to? Verse 8, somewhere along in there? Verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. Now look at verse 8. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Lord have mercy. Now you know that's true. Isn't that true? It doesn't matter how much you see, how much you hear, you want to see more, and you want to hear more. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. Nobody in the world thinks is going to satisfy them. Anybody with a TV knows that verse is true. No matter what you see on there, you want to see more. They come out with a movie where you cut 10 people's heads off, then you want to see a movie where they cut 20 people's heads off. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. Years ago, I heard them preachers preach. They said the worst thing you see on TV when they was growing up, and preachers preached against it when it first came out, and the worst thing on there is when Roy Rogers kissed his horse. But they said Ricky and Lucy, when they first came out on the I Love Lucy show, or Dick Van Dyke, some, all them people slept in separate beds. When he showed them going to bed, Lucy's in one bed and Ricky's in another, because they didn't want to pollute the minds of the American people. Now, I'm telling you, that's just back in the 50s or 60s or whenever it was. Is the eye satisfied with seeing? It keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and it don't satisfy it. If it's satisfied, you would never have to want more and more and more and more and more. People say Budweiser makes you happy and all that stuff. This world don't satisfy. The eye's not satisfied with seeing. And people in Hollywood, you know what they want? More. More. Most of them are not happy with what they've got. They want more. The eye's not satisfied with seeing, neither the ear with hearing. You go hear a rock band at a concert or a country music concert, you think, man, that sounded good, but boy, somebody come out with something new. I want to hear it. You know, the ear is not satisfied with hearing. What a verse, man. That's what Solomon came to that conclusion. Verse number 9, the thing which hath been, it is that which shall be. Looking at it. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Now, them two verses are basically saying, everything in this world that you know and do is something that's already been done hundreds and hundreds of times before. Now, people say, now, that's not true. They just come out with MP3 players and video this and all that, and they didn't have that. This is new. That ain't new. These lights, the lights right there are made out of something that God created thousands of years ago. There's no new thing under the sun. You can arrange it different. Men can invent things, but really they ain't nothing new since creation. People's sins ain't new. You can't think up no new sin. I heard people say, boy, do you hear what they're doing nowadays? They're doing nowadays what they did a long time ago. They just have more inventions and a better camera, or maybe a bigger screen. There ain't no sin is the same as it's always been. There ain't no sin being committed tonight in San Francisco that wasn't committed in Sodom and Gomorrah thousands of years ago. There's no new thing under the sun. Now, I don't read a lot of magazines. Once in a blue moon, I'll pick one up. I just don't read magazines. I'm not saying they're all wrong. But when you're at the store, You can't have it. I can't have it. Standing there waiting to check out Walmart, and there's like 15 of them here. And I just go down through there reading the headlines on them. I'm thinking this beats anything, you know. They're trying to sell you that magazine. And they're always on there saying this new thing that's come out. All these women's magazines like Cosmopolitan and whatever other ones that like, you know, girls like and everything. It'll always say 10 new ways to please your lover. Or 10, they ain't no 10 new ways, people. I hate to tell you, they ain't no, it's the same old ways. Over and over and over. 16 things to try this month that will light his fire. Yeah, right. Baloney. Amen. Now, don't get embarrassed. Y'all don't see them magazines when you go to the store? Yeah, they're there. I mean, and that's real nice to what it really says. I mean, really says. There's this one certain word that pops up on 90% of them, and that's how they say. You can put that one word on it and sell it. It can be 90% advertise it. It can be 89% left of that is pictures. And you put one word on the front of it, people buy it. Because, oh boy, there's the answer. There's the answer. That's what I've been waiting for. Now it'll be better. Yeah, bull, too. It's the same old thing. It's the same old thing people do since the beginning of time. There is no new thing under the sun. You say, boy, in Sweden, they know how to really rock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same way they did in Babylon. Same way. You got new, nicer clothes. And you got cars, but there is no new thing under the sun. There ain't no such thing. Now, some people misinterpret this verse. How many of you ever heard this? Bible said that which hath been, or is, hath been. So back in the old days, they had electricity and automobiles and jet planes. How many has ever heard anybody say that? Am I the only one who's ever heard anybody say that? There's two, three. Well, good. I mean, your kin folks ain't dumb as some of mine was. But there are people that believe that. There are people that believe that the ancient civilization in Noah's had computers because the Bible said there's no new thing under the sun. That ain't what it means. Y'all ain't never heard nobody say that? Oh, I have. I've had several people ask me when I was preaching, "Preacher, do you believe they had airplanes before the flood?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, the Bible said there's no new thing under the sun." See how people can just take the Bible and just get it all messed up in their head. That ain't what it's talking about. It's talking about temptations are the same. You know, human nature is the same. A lot of times we advertise and we preach and we write books about these Old Testament prophets and we have Abraham like this. Where is the Lord my God? We do that in Christmas plays and stuff. They was just like us. They didn't walk around and say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of God." They did just like you do. They made the same excuses you do. The apostles. You know, I hear people all the time, "Where was you, church?" You know what they say? "My alarm clock didn't go off." Everybody in the United States has a bad alarm clock on Sunday. I've heard that 10,000 times. "My clock didn't go off." I said, "Why don't you buy you a clock?" Every time, "My clock didn't go off. My clock didn't go off." They always fail on Sunday. You know, my clock didn't go off, preacher. Maybe you didn't set it on purpose. Amen. And now, back then they had the same old excuses. You know, "Where you at?" "My chariot wheel fell off." "My camel's sick. Couldn't make it Sunday." Human nature don't change. It don't change. They were jealous back then. They were full of pride back then. They were sneaky. They were conniving. Just like us. They don't change. People don't change. People don't change. That's why I like Ruckman's. I don't know if y'all ever listen to Ruckman's ad lib commentary. That's one of the neatest, funny things. They ought to make a movie like that and make people talk in the Bible just like people do now. I mean, he's got Goliath coming out here like this, you know, and saying, "Come on out here and fight me." And David comes out there and says, "All right, big boy, your wife better have a good insurance policy on you, son, because you're going down right now, you know." And here's Goliath. That ain't the way they do it in the movies, you know. But Goliath said, "Well, cut my legs off and call me Shorty. That boy mean business." You know, that's the way they do. I mean, they were people just like us. They were people just like us. Old Jacob and all of them people, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. People said, "Have you heard this new rock band?" No, but I know what they play. Guitar is the same old rock band play. They play the same key. You know, back in the 60s, it was C, A minor, F, and G, brother. All them old songs. Dun, 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 dun. And now they're doing the same thing again. And everybody goes, wow, that's cool. New music. You know, it's the same. You can only be so many chords. And they can only be so many sounds. And they can only be so loud. There's nothing new under the sun. You know what you young people have got to look forward to as you go through life? Nothing new. Kids come in and say, oh, cool jeans, man. Cool jeans. They get wide at the bottom. I hate to tell you this, but your grandpa wore them down here at the bottom. And them old painter pants, you know, look how you put hammers and stuff in them. Papa wore them, you crazy kids. And then they used to wear them, look like pencil legs down here like this. And now that. The girls had straight hair. Then the girls had curly hair. Then the girls had no hair. Then they had kinky hair. Then they have purple hair. Then there's no new thing under the sun. Back in Moses' day, he come and broke the Ten Commandments because he heard them thundering, loud music and dancing. Same old thing. He goes, oh my goodness, Brother Danny, they've come out with this new movie and it's awful. Yeah, I know. But they done the same thing in the Old Testament. They just didn't have inventions that we have now. They didn't have electricity and stuff like that. All right? Anybody want to say anything on that right quick? I've got to hurry and move on. All right. Verse 11. There's no remembrance of the former things, neither shall be there remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after them. I mean, it all passes away. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Remember that. Under heaven. See? Not in eternity. Under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Well, there he goes again. There he goes again, talking that same way again. He said, I've seen it all. And you're going to find out next week what he meant. You said, well, he ain't seen what Bill Gates did. Listen, Solomon, King Solomon could hire Bill Gates to mow his grass. Brother, Bill Gates ain't rich compared to King Solomon. You come next week, I'm telling you, there's nobody in this country. He had more than Fort Knox. Brother, I ain't kidding you. He said, I've seen it all. All these people said, boy, I'm telling you, I want to hear this rock singer, and Elvis had all this stuff, and I don't know, Howard Hughes had all this stuff, you know, and now these rich people have this and that. Man, they... Listen, Solomon said, I've seen it all. I've had it all. And he said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Now, that's a great verse. Somebody's going to come out up automatically and say, that's not true. You can take a crooked... you know, pipe and bend it straight and stuff like that. That's not what he meant. He said that which is inherently crooked cannot be made straight. Why do you think he said this? John 3, you must be what? Born again. You know why? Because man is naturally crooked. And it cannot be made straight. You cannot make this old flesh straight. It can't be made straight. That which is crooked cannot be made. You can do your best. There's monks that used to, I don't know if they still do it or not, they used to sit in a swamp and let mosquitoes bite them and sting them and get diseases and sit in there for years. Somebody bring, trying to control their flesh so they wouldn't sin and have evil thoughts and stuff, and you can't do it. You know, getting saved don't even make your flesh straight. I preached about it Sunday night. When you get saved, this flesh don't change one bit. You get born again in here, you get something good inside, but your flesh is still bent. It's still crooked, and there ain't but one cure for it. Kill it. Nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross, and then you're going to get a new body one day that don't sin. You can't, something that's crooked, you can't make straight. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how many, if you locked yourself in a room and never heard the radio and never seen a TV and never read a newspaper and never saw another human being, you'd still sin. You sure would. You would. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. Anybody have a question? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. You must be born again. The old man is crooked to death. That's what Job said when he said, "How can a man be clean that is born of a woman?" Verse 16, "I commune with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate." Boy, he sure did, buddy. You talk about the Biltmore house. He's come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. That counts his daddy David and all of them. "Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly." Now stop right there just a second. Solomon said, "I'm going to try it all." He was a rich man. He had everything a man could want. He said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give my heart to wisdom and knowledge. Not just that, but to madness and folly." He got drunk. He had wine, women, and song. He tried everything you can try. There's nobody in here that can try something that that man didn't try. And when he come out, he said, "It's all vanity and a waste of time. It's just a big waste." And that's what everybody's going to figure out eventually. You'd be better off to take his word for it. Take his word for it. You young people, I know how young people are. Older people are too. 30, 40, 50, 60. Some people still ain't got it figured out. They think out there somewhere is this great, wonderful, great life. And they always say, "Well, me and my boyfriend broke up and I'm looking for that one person that I can just be eternally happy with. Or my husband just left me and I know that I'm going to find somebody this time that's going to make me happy." I got news for you. They and a human being on this earth can make you happy. If you don't get something from God and some satisfaction from the Lord, they ain't a man on this earth make you happy, ladies. They ain't a woman in this world. Now, if you get a good man, thank God. If you got a good woman, you ought to shout. You really ought to. But if you think that person's going to give you satisfaction in life, you can forget it. There ain't no such thing. Your happiness got to come from Jesus. He's the bread of life. He's what satisfies you. Your kids brings joy and your family brings joy. But deep satisfaction can only come from the Lord. Solomon had it all. You say, "Well, if I just had me a wife..." I know guys. "If I just had me a wife..." He had 700. You know what he said? Vanity. One fellow said, "Well, I'd like to try that." You know, well, he had 2 birthdays every day. 2 birthday presents, 2 anniversaries every day. 700 of them, I bet you 690 of them is in a bad mood. And 300 girlfriends, whatever that was, concubines. They just sort of hung around, whatever. And I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, people say, "Oh, you know, Liz Taylor's been married 7 times and all that and all that." Hey, I bet she didn't find one that made her happy. She still didn't. Amen? Poor thing. I feel sorry for her now. Her belly button's right in here somewhere. They stretched her up there so many times. It's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. You take them old dried up prune looking old women like old Joan. What's her name? Joan Rivers. Some of them. And I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. They're still trying to think that Hollywood and fame and if they could just have their beauty back and all that. Let me tell you something, brother. This thing, this world ain't going to do it. There ain't nothing wrong with you getting married, settling down, raising kids, have a nice car. I hope y'all get rich and become a millionaire. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to find out without eternity and without heaven and hell. It's vanity. It's vanity. It really is. It's vanity. Just a waste. Kids get out here and they knock their brains out trying to impress somebody. And then if you get to the top, what if you did get to the top? Then what? Look at Britney Spears. Don't that prove what I'm saying? Bless her heart. I feel sorry for her. We need to pray for her. I don't know how old she is now. 25? Is she 25 now? 4? 3? 6? Somewhere in there. I don't know how old she is. But she went to the top. And you know what she found up there? Vanity. I can't be happy. Let's get drunk. Let's do that. Maybe this will make me happy. Justin broke up with me, so I can't never be happy. That's a devil lying to her. Dr. Phil's going to come and save her. So, no, he ain't neither. Listen, brother. She needs to go see Danny Farley or one of them old-time preachers or somebody, get her straightened out and go to a good Holy Ghost camp meeting and hit the altar and get right with God. Then she'd get straightened out. But until then, it's all vanity. All right. He's going to learn madness and folly. Solomon done it all. He got drunk. I'm talking about sipping wine. It said he gave himself to it. He got drunk as a dog. And I'll tell you more about that later. And I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. Now, a great verse here. Verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. What if they put that on the front desk of every college in America when you went in to enroll? He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. That's bad for enrollment, man. I mean, who wants to go? You say, well, I'm going to go here and pay you $40,000. Much wisdom is much grief. Now, why did he say that? Because the more you know, and God put it in us to want to know, we should be wise, but to be honest about it, the more you know, the more heartache you got in this world. The happiest people in the world, I hate to say this, happiest people in the world are saved mountain people who don't know what's going on out there in the world and don't care and just love the Lord all their life and go home and be with Jesus and feed their family and raise crops and all that. And that's the happiest people in the world. You know, the more you know about, the more, it's just more burden and more heartache and more, these people in the world don't even know there is such a thing as cancer and stuff like that. And maybe, I'm not saying we should be ignorant, but in much wisdom. You know why? God told John one time, he said, you eat that little book. And he said, it'll be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your belly. And that's the way wisdom and knowledge is. When you learn a lot, it's like right now, we don't even know a lot about what's going on in other parts of the world. But if you went there and you saw them, and you saw them suffering, and you saw little kids starving to death, man, that just becomes grief to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Y'all, does that make sense? The more you know, the more miserable you get sometimes. And wisdom's not always the answer to make you happy. Knowing stuff don't make a person happy. Nothing wrong with it. We should know. One fellow said, ignorance is bliss, you know. There's some things you'd be better off not to know. I'll tell you an example of this. There's a lot of our boys right here in the mountains of North Carolina that was raised by a godly woman and a godly mom, and saw their grandpa sit on the front row of these mountain churches in overalls and heard an old preacher get up and preach on hell and heaven and had the fear of God in them, that went to the army or went to Vietnam or went to Japan and found out about them left-handed cigarettes and started smoking them, and he found out about opium and heroin, and then he heard about all these Buddhism and all these other religions, and it ruined that guy for life. He'd been better off to stay here in the mountains and never know none of that stuff and went to heaven when he died. You understand what I'm saying? He'd have been better off. You don't have to know everything in the world. You don't have to know everything in the world to be educated. You don't have to know everything that's going on out there. People say, well, I don't want my kids in a Christian school. I've heard them say, I don't want them in a Christian school. They'd be too sheltered. Listen, you ought to thank God your kids don't know every ungodly thing out there in this world. You want them to be, their mind to be perverted? I'll tell you, I started Christian school. We run one for years. Kids in Christian schools know more junk now than their grandpas did when they was 50 years old. They ain't sheltered from this world. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. They don't need to know all this junk. Bible said to be wise concerning that which is good, but simple concerning evil. There's a bunch of stuff out there I don't even want my girls to know. They stuff I don't know and don't want to know. They stuff that I wished I didn't know. You don't have to know every ungodly, filthy thing that's going on out there. All this, people say, oh, this world's getting wicked, incest and bestiality and all that. Yeah, and God killed them in the Old Testament for that and destroyed them for that kind of stuff. And the same thing's happening now. There's nothing new under the sun, and you don't even need to know about it. That's why the Internet's one of the most dangerous things that's ever come on this country. I mean, I don't even know how to use it, but they say the kids will be sitting there and stuff just pops up right in your face out of clear blue. And so you got to watch that stuff. Amen? All right. For in much wisdom is much grief. I'm about through. It takes labor and pain to get knowledge. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. That's another thing that makes it real. It's harder to explain things. Here's the way it is. If you're simple-minded, you can see somebody in trouble and you'll just say, ah, well, the devil's got him. Some people can just do that. Well, the devil got him, messed him up, boom, and dismiss it. That's a blessing. The more you know, you start thinking, well, this could have happened and caused this, and the way he was raised caused this, and then I read a book on psychology, and I psychoanalyze and that, that, and man, that messed your mind up. You're so messed up, you don't even know what the answer is. You better off just say, the devil got him, forget it. And that's before him to get saved. But everything's too complicated. Much with, listen, the world, you know what the world says? The world says the smartest people in the world are people who realize they can't know nothing. Because they say you can't know anything for sure. That's what they teach. They teach you that there are no absolutes. You can't know nothing for absolute certain. Man told a preacher one time, he said, you can't really know anything. And the preacher said, how do you know? If you can't really know anything, how do you know you can't? See, them people are crazy. Anybody got a comment right there? I'm through. Oh, yeah? Really? Yeah, all, man, I'm telling you, cell phones have changed the world. Changed the world. You know, they was talking about how many phones we're going to put in a new church. I said, probably just one. Ain't no use in it. I mean, used to, when I was pastoring for years, 10 times on somebody said, can I use phone? Can I use phone? Can I use phone? Nobody ever comes in here and asks, can I use that phone? Ever. Everybody got their own phone. That's it. And